Blog Talk Radio.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly. It's the season to be jolly and be thankful for all that we have. All the lights and decorations put up in anticipation of the
Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Happy holidays from all of us here at LMP. And Naomi and Pam and myself would love to wish everyone a Happy New Year. Sorry about all the confusion with the shows. That's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave it at that because it's been a wreck. And hello, Naomi, and hello, Pam.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you both?
Doing good.
Good.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, before we go on, and Naomi, and I'm going to ask you about your contest and your show, I want to tell you, I think we have Robbie on the line, which he forewarned us, which is pretty good. And he's raising his hand. Hi, he's Robbie. Hey. Is that you?
Yes,
hi,
I'm
Robbie.
The Twisted Mister tonight.
You're the Twisted Mister? Just tonight? Yeah. I don't know about that.
I was just remembering something I said earlier today, and yes, I think I was a little twisted then.
Well, it's good to have you join us, Robbie. And Naomi, you can go ahead and tell us all about your contest and, you know, whatever it is you need, the artist and all that good stuff that goes with it. So
yeah. Okay, so I came across some of this. Oh, you know, I'm a little babyish, you know. I like little cute little things. And, you know, I came across this art by a Japanese artist called, she goes by the name Makiko. And she was born in Nagoya, Japan, where she studied freelance designer. But then she went to the USA and she studied English and graphic design. And she met her husband, and she actually lives in Belgium now. But, you know, if you're like me and you stare at that art and you said to yourself, oh, my gracious, I think I saw this before. You probably did, and it was probably on a greeting card, like a Christmas card or something, because, you know, she is known for her illustrations on greeting cards. And in children's books, of course, across Europe and Japan. She loves nature and animals. And, you know, her inspiration comes from the innocent movement of animals and children. And to her, animals are a good way of conveying a message and emotion. And, yeah, and she, you know, she loves being like a part of a magical world. And that's what she conveys through her art. So that is for the artist. And we have a lot of cute poems. Christmas all over again. Celebrating Christmas anew tonight. The start of it.
Absolutely, Naomi, absolutely. It's another go round. Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah.
Yep. I don't know. Once is usually enough, but you know you can't have such a good thing. I'm putting up the phone number because I could not hear us on the playback or the broadcast. So anyone who wants to listen is going to have to call in to hear it again. That's all right. It's not painful, everybody. I promise. Yeah. We won't make you talk if you don't want to talk. But we'll definitely accept a phone call and enjoy the show. So here it is in big print so everybody can see it. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So. And as long as it records like the – I think the other shows did. They record it so people were be able to listen back, you know.
Right, absolutely. Yep.
So we have our Twisted Mister with us, Robbie. So welcome, Robbie, and happy you're there. You're here with us. Mm-hmm. And, hi, Phil. Hi, Pam. Happy to be with you guys.
Oh, my goodness. Pam's walking around in her bikini this week. I heard all about it.
It was on the news. Yeah, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everyone. Yeah, it's
same
crazy
to you,
how wonderful. Yeah, Happy New Year. Christmas. Yeah, here too, it's like we're right on the grass. Like there was no snow at all, no rain, and you know, just melting, and you know, my cat is going crazy because, you know, finally she gets to go outside and, you know, hunt mice again. She's really, she's happy. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know how long this will last. I hope, you know, we don't have like our late Christmas week. You know, we have a late Christmas. We have a late snow winter,
yeah.
And it's going right into June. Like, I don't want
that. That's what I keep thinking. It's going to start later and it's going to end later. But
yep.
I don't have any pets, but I will say because they haven't had to go to sleep for the winter yet, the squirrels running around outside in my backyard are getting so freaking fat. They're like, they keep eating and eating, and they're like the fattest squirrels I've ever seen.
That's funny.
Oh, my gracious, Pam. Just watch out in case a bear doesn't come around.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, the bear behind the squirrels. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have another caller. Let me see who's on the line.
Oh.
It went awfully quiet.
Yeah.
I think Phil had a caller. She just went to check, did she? Well, I can go ahead and put up the first poem if you guys want. And if you want to read it, Pam.
Sure, absolutely. This is Heaven's Delight by Princess Redeemed. Heaven's delight was when God sent down his son to bring love to everyone. To declare the Prince of Peace had come, he sent a bright light and the angels did hum. For a miracle did appear on earth, no human consummation through a virgin birth. Angels declaring from high, the earth's salvation was nigh. Come see the newborn babe, angels declared, for there is great excitement in the air. The peace promise unto his nation, for sin's complete castration. End poem.
Wow, what a wonderful right. Rhythm and rhyme is beautiful. And I'll let you, Robbie, since you're our guest of honor, take first shot at this poem.
It's kind of like what I was expecting as a start for the poetry tonight, where it has, like, you see the wholesome picture, and it's a very, like, wholesome sort of subject matter, and, you know, it's about a very, like, tender sort of thing. The only thing that threw me off was the peace promised unto this nation for sin's complete castration, and just the directness of that particular last couplet compared to everything else there. Like, I know what it was saying, you know, like being free of sin, but I was just kind of surprised that the expression of that was, like, so blunt compared to the rest of the tone of this poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Wonderful comment, Robbie. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I like that Robbie used the word wholesome to describe the artwork and the poem itself, and I have to agree. You know, I actually was a bit thrown off by the line to the peace promise unto this nation for sin's complete castration, because castration is a very bold word choice. But I was thinking, I wonder if it has to do with the idea that God gave to the Israelites of the Old Testament the directions to you know, make sure that the males were castrated as a sign of their devotion to God, kind of like setting them apart. And it's that whole idea of being set apart for God's purpose. Now, it could have just been because castration rhymes with nation, I mean, sometimes rhyming poets, they will choose the closest word they can find that rhymes, that has some meaning. But I can't help but think that maybe it has something to do with God's directions to the biblical Israelites. Maybe I'm reaching too far, but that's what I'm thinking. But, you know, I thought this was a wonderful retelling of the birth of Jesus Christ. Great rhyming poem, and just a really nice, positive message. I have to say, out of all three of the stanzas, it's the second one that grabs my attention the most, especially with angels declaring from high that earth's salvation was nigh. Wonderful lines and very well done.
A wonderful comment, Tim. Yeah, me too. That was the second stanza that really grabbed my attention. You know, with the angel there kneeling over the baby Jesus, and, you know, really caught that prompt so well. And I understand we have a new caller. Michael's with us?
Michael Mihalis.
Hello. There you go.
Hello.
Perfect. I like the way you say it.
Right. Well,
welcome to the show. Did you get
Thank
a chance
you.
To hear our first poem?
You mean the poem, what's the one that you just read? It's called Heaven's Delight.
Delight, yeah.
I had the chance to read it, and I really think it's a very nice, I like the theme, the topic, and the message of this poem. I was kind of taken aback a little bit by the last two lines as well, but I don't see any negative about it. I think you were talking about castration when you might have meant circumcision. But in this case, when castration is used, I think it just means to cut yourself off from something. It would be like castration. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? I don't know if it's not talking about a literal castration, but how sin tends to cut us off from our connection with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it really does. Yeah, great observation there, Michael. And wonderfully well said. And Phil, what are your thoughts? Mrs. Phil.
Sorry, honey, I did not hear the poem. I was in the green room, and I've been
No problem. No problem. I'll just go on to the next one.
Thank you.
And I have one for you to read, Robbie, and it's by Chuck, CRL17, and go ahead when you see it there, my dear.
No. I just read the first one, though, right? Did I?
CRL 17, I believe.
I'll read, I believe. There is snow on the ground up north, but beach and sand near me. We always love a white Christmas like the ones we see on TV. Some children watch for Santa, others build sand Christmas trees. As for me, I believe. There's a crystal star upon the tree, sparkling ornaments and bows. We share slow dances and kisses under mistletoe. Dozens of gift-wrapped boxes colored with reds and greens, waiting for Christmas morning and little faces that can be seen. As for me, I believe. The house is adorned with colored lights and holy wreaths, a sign of this holy season. The air is filled with the hope and prayers for peace, and love is still the reason. As for me, I believe. The children finally fast asleep, can't wait for Christmas morn. No white Christmas here tonight. The beach is much too warm. We still sing carols going door to door, but Christmas truly means so much more. As for me, I believe. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Robbie. And I really liked this poem, you know, it really captures the essence of, you know, all that Christmas is. And I always wondered, you know, what it would be like, you know, to have a Christmas. I think Chuck is from California, if I'm not mistaken. And I always wondered, you know, what it would be like to have a Christmas, you know, by the beach and the sand and where there's no snow. And, you know, and he delivers it here and he tells us, you know, there is no snow. There is snow on the ground up north, but beach sand near me. We always love a white Christmas like the ones we see on TV. Some children watch for Santa. Others build sand Christmas trees. As for me, I believe. You know, it's the importance, you know, no matter where you are in the world, you know, it's just what's important is to believe in the spirit of Christmas time. So wonderfully well said here by CRL 17 by Chuck. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I like the use of repetition as for me, I believe. And I like how he reminds us within his right it's the heart of Christmas carried within that matters. You know, the snow makes for a beautiful scene, but not everybody lives around snow. And so what really makes Christmas is how you feel inside, but also the joy and the spirit of Christmas that you share with people. And just a wonderful write all the way through and very well done. Are you on mute, Naomi?
Oh, yes. Oh my gracious. Okay. Yes, I was. Sorry about that. What about you, Michael? What did you think about the poem?
I especially like the last stanza. I mean, it concluded nicely how it put everything together. You see the big picture of what Christmas is and what it really means and how, you know, like the earlier reviewer said, as for me, I believe. I did like that repetition also. And I know that the second to last line says, but Christmas truly means so much more. And it does. It's a lot more than even what we make it, especially when it's become over commercialized. And, you know, so I really believe that there's a lot to this time of the year, especially to Christmas and to what Christmas represents and what it can mean to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Great observation there. Well said there, Michael.
You
have a great voice. I like your voice. We're going to hire you as a radio host. Have to get in touch with Phil there.
I did have a radio accident. I've been on amateur radio. I've been on amateur radio when I was 18.
Oh, wow. That's cool. And talking about Phil, what did you think of the poem, Phil? Hello, Phil?
Oops. You want me off mute? Oh, okay. I see. Double standard here. She wants me off mute, Pam. I think the poem was
wonderful. The audacity of it all.
I know. Some people have a lot. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, just saying. You know, I really like CRL's poem. I think you guys pretty much said it all. I like how he hit on Santa Claus, you know, because I always say you got to believe in Santa Claus. You know, you got to believe. And but the true meaning of Christmas is so much deeper, and it's in your heart. And it's about your beliefs and how you, you know, the true meaning. Santa's just symbolic, you know, something that's that people, they can see, you know what I mean? You put a suit on him and put him on a corner, everybody sees him. The true meaning of Christmas is not quite so visible. And I think that was a good point made here. And I think it was well done. I think the rhyme was good. And, you know, I enjoyed it. So excellent job, CRL 17. Appreciate the share. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And Robbie, you read that so well. What are your thoughts, my dear?
Well, I like the refrain, like everybody else did. And you know, while this does have talks about the universality, you know, of a holiday like Christmas, in terms of the essence of its meaning, I do find it interesting to think about and to remember how people do celebrate it in a different way, especially when the environment is different. I know, like I heard somewhere where someone who's, you know, who lives in one of the more tropical climes or whatever, they really, one of the things they got used to was being able to swim on like Christmas Day. And there's one year because of the weather, they couldn't do that. And it made them sad. And it just kind of, it's an interesting like juxtaposition to me how like, you know, if we don't get snow here, we're like, oh, it doesn't feel like Christmas. And there's like the total opposite. It's like, oh, if I don't get to swim today on Christmas Day, that's not Christmas. So the universality is there, but I still find it interesting to ponder what it is that people are used to kind of environment-wise in regards to how they celebrate Christmas. Like, you know, some people are going to be snowshoeing. Some people are going to be doing something, you know, quite the opposite, just because of the way the environment is.
Yeah, well said. Well, we got our radio shows on Christmas Day, so there we got our poetry back, our radio shows, so that's okay for me. Makes me believe more the spirit of Christmas. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And I have our next poem up, which is by Puddles, 33, Frosty Christmas Fun, and it has a sound cloud. So somebody can play the sound cloud.
Frosty Christmas Fun by Barb Christing. In the mind of a child who is older than one, snow means mittens and scarves, endless laughter and fun. So when flakes start to fall with a heft kids can pack, they race to the door until Mom calls them back. Where's your boots? Here's your hat. Jack, please zip up your coat. I'll bake Christmas cookies if you want. What's your vote? Three hands pierce the sky while their smiles warm the room, and then they are off, slam the door with a boom. The squealing and giggles knock snowflakes around, make new winter flurries that fall to the ground. Two kids pull the sleigh, while the third gets a ride. Their joy and excitement bust out, it can't hide. Snowballs soon fly with a fling and a grunt. Sweet little Susie, well, she takes the brunt. With a mischievous grin, she runs to her bro, stuffs the back of his jacket with fistfuls of snow. Hey, let's build a snowman, young Patrick exclaims. They set about working while testing out names. How's Stacy? No Rocky. No, I like Bear best. Oh, just be quiet. You're being a pest. They roll and pat, adding buckets of snow, then stand and admire from his head to his toe. Their snowman stands tall, probably 3 feet or more. Patrick turns on his heel and then runs to the door. He returns with a scarf, well, mittens, a hat. Let's name him Frosty. Oh, yes, I like that. Buttons for eyes and orange carrot nose. Though he doesn't move, personality grows. Then Mama calls out, time for cookies and tea. In a blink, they're inside, consuming with glee. Out in the yard, beneath Christmas stars' light, smells a man made of snow. What a magical night.
What a wonderful, wonderful poem. And, you know, and of course, you know, that was my gold winner in the contest. My gracious, just and it's even more magical, the whole piece, hearing her hearing her read it, the puddles yeah. read it. Oh, my gracious. She has such a great voice, and she put so much, you know, enthusiasm and magic into the poem as she read it. It was so wonderful to hear. And, you know, that shows us all the importance of, you know, if you can, just send in those audios for your poems, because, yeah, that was just amazing. And what did you think, Lear, I'll start with Michael. What did you think, Michael, of the poem?
I thought it was delightful. It really brought a smile to my face. I enjoyed it, and I like how it was read by the reader, who is also the author, right, of this poem?
Yes.
The one that read it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I really thought it was great. The rhyme works. The rhythm works. It makes sense, and it has a great message. Those are four different qualities that I tend to look at in a poem. Poems don't have to rhyme, but I mean, in a rhyming poem, those four things are important to me and hopefully to other people. I like the attached photo of the snowman. I've never lived in a snowy climate, but I'm in California, speaking of California, in the desert of all places. But anyways, I really liked it. I liked how it ended. And smiles, a man made of snow, what a magical night. And this is a magical poem. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Truly magical. And, you know, and that was the art that was attached to the poem was from the contest, was from the artist Makiko, and so it was a prompt, so that was, you know, a great, great right to that prompt indeed. Wonderful comment, Michael. And Robbie, what are your thoughts?
The rhyme scheme lent itself so well to a Christmas tale, and one thing I was thinking of was that it's kind of curious how, when you think about it, Halloween and Christmas are two very, very different holidays, but they both tend to have poems that have that sort of fairy tale or folk tale sort of rhyme scheme. So it's kind of a curiosity that they would both, but I'm thinking maybe they both do because they both involve like folklore and fairy tales, sort of, you know, and urban tales and that sort of thing. So maybe that's why they tend to both have the same sort of rhyme scheme. They're both telling a tale. It's just, they're just, with Christmas, it's very light tales, whereas with Halloween, it's kind of darker tales. And I agree, like the person who read this poem, her voice was just a dead-on match for the type of voice that this poem called for. And you could hear the enthusiasm in her voice. Like she had fun. She really did have fun reading this. It definitely wasn't any just like, I'm just reading this, I'm just, you know, writing at home or whatever. You could tell that she just loved reading this as much as she did writing it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she brought, like you said, and I like your observation between Halloween and Christmas, Robbie. That's great observations that you brought up there. And, the enthusiasm with which Puddles read her poem was just amazing. What are your thoughts, Pam?
Oh, I really enjoyed this one. Great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery, just absolutely delightful and a well-deserved goal. I really like how she writes about the kids enjoying the joy of playing in the snow while mom bakes cookies. In fact, that was my favorite part, but it was great all the way through when Mom says, where's your boots? Here's your hat, Jeff. Please zip up your coat. I'll bake Christmas cookies if you want. What's your vote? Three hands pierce the sky while their smiles warm the room, and then they are off, slam the door with a boom. I mean, just absolutely wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. And what did you think, Phil?
Well, I thought this was a fabulous poem. I loved listening to Puddles read this. Her voice just carried the whole poem. The poem's great. It's got great rhyme, great meter, and all that. But to hear her read it really brought it to life, I thought. And then I started, I think, at the very top. It's just in the mind of a child who is older than one, snow means mittens and scarves, endless laughter and fun. When flakes start to fall on a theft, and with a heft, kids can pack. They race to the door until mom calls them back. Where's your boots? Here's your hat. Jack, please zip your coat. I'll bake Christmas cookies if you want. What's your vote? Three hands pierce the sky while they smile. Their smiles warm the room. And then they are off, slam the door with a boom. I just thought it just had so much. It's so full of personality throughout the whole write. And excellent job. Very well done, Puddles. And congratulations on the gold. It's very well deserved.
Absolutely. And Michael, you asked to have your poem read called Christmas Wrapping. Is it in the contest?
No, it's not. I haven't been in any contest ever. Someday I would like to be in a contest, but I think this particular poem is relevant to the topic of the night, and I think it's a good poem.
Okay. Are you able to post a link onto into the group room?
Well, I've been having a difficult time navigating through this website.
Maybe somebody. The title is Christmas Wrapping, right?
Yeah, Wrapping
with an
R.
Okay, just want to make sure of that. A-P-P-I-N-G. Let me see if I can find it. I got it.
Sure.
Okay. Here it comes.
Oh, there you go, Phil.
I'm just not here because I'm another pretty face, you know. They put me to work when I'm around. Here we go.
So there it is, Michael. So whenever you're ready, give it a read.
Okay. Everybody listen up. I'm here to let you know. December's to remember if you enjoy the snow. Christmas Eve is almost here. The children cannot wait for Santa Claus to arrive on that important date. He will be upon his sleigh and shout out, ho, ho, ho. If I could get just one gift, it would be mistletoe. Underneath the mistletoe is where you need to be. If I get a second gift, you can stay here with me. Sweetie, it's too cold outside. I heard there is a storm. Hot cocoa and marshmallows and I will keep you warm. So let us sit together. We'll do that just in case. Neither of us can warm up close to the fireplace. Merry Christmas, everyone. Be with those you hold dear. This is my Christmas wrapping. I wish you joy and cheer. May you get the gift you want and happiness unstopping. Don't forget to give some gifts from all your Christmas shopping. But Christmas is more than that, more than presents galore, more than just the Christmas tree. Christmas is something more. Christmas is a holiday that is of greater worth when you focus on the fact that it's our Savior's birth. The reason for the season is who I will applaud, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, Son of Man, Son of God.
Beautiful, yep. Beautiful write and beautiful read, Michael. I really like this. And, you know, I could hear, like, you're kind of rapping throughout the poem. You know, that's beautiful, beautiful rhythm and rhyme. And, yeah, I love this all the way through. Underneath the mistletoe is where you need to be. If I get a second gift, you can stay here with me. Sweetie, it's too cold outside. I heard there is a storm. Hot cocoa and marshmallows, and I will keep you warm. I really like the whole rhythm and rhyme all the way through. And, you know, the vibe of the whole piece, it's just, yeah, and of course, you know, you bring us, into the seriousness of Christmas there at the end, you know, of all what Christmas is with Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of God. And, you know, so I really, really liked your finish. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this did have great rhyme and flow. I can tell you had a lot of fun with this, right? But yet at the same time, you made sure that the purpose of the rite and the message of the rite got through, especially in those end stanzas. I really like the end stanzas and also where you say, Merry Christmas, everyone. Be with those you hold dear. This is my Christmas wrapping. I wish you joy and cheer. Those are just wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. And Robbie, what did you think of Michael's poem?
Well, in calling it Christmas Wrap, it did have that sort of rat-tat-tat sort of shorter verses sort of format that rapping tends to have. So I felt like it fit that part of it well. And I like how it blocked off different moods of Christmas. Like we have like the children that can't wait. And then it goes to... ooh, so I heard something in the background.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
underneath the mistletoe, so like you know, like the romantic couples cuddling up and all that, and then it goes, you know, and at the end, then it goes to the religious aspect. So I enjoyed that. You know, that's kind of like the big three. You know, like. When people hear Christmas songs, they tend to hear about either, you know, kids are having fun, or you have like, you know, oh, let's cuddle up next to the fireplace, or it's a religious song and you know, talking about the birth of Jesus. So it's nice that in this poem, all three of those main aspects of Christmas were talked about.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Robbie. And Phil, your thoughts on Michael's poem.
I guess you want thoughts too. Naomi, have we talked about this before? Michael, I thought this was a wonderful poem. I really did. I like how you encompassed the completeness of the holiday, not just, you know, one aspect or another. You know, you pulled it all together. I like you started it out because I wasn't sure where you were going with it at first. But you said, Christmas, no, where'd it go? God, the third stanza. Hold the punished sleigh and shout out, ho, ho, ho. If I could get just one gift, it would be mistletoe. I thought that was a sweet note there. And then it's too cold outside. I heard there's a storm. Cocoa and marshmallows, and I will keep you warm. I thought that was sweet. And then you roll that into the nitty-gritty of the season at the end. And I thought you did it gracefully. It was a graceful transition from each spot to each spot. I thought it was nicely done. So I really enjoyed the piece and great work.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful comment there, Phil. And I have our next piece up, Phil, if you want to go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Sure. Give me 2 seconds. Because if I don't put this comment down, Michael will never get one from me because I never remember to return. It's awful. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I go back. And the next one is Laura Sanders. The Little Christmas Tree by Laura Sanders. There stood a little Christmas tree, glowing, shining bright. Amongst a forest of tall pine trees, he sparkled through the night. All the snow-clad pines were envious of that tree, but then someone chopped him down and brought him home to me. I placed him in the corner so all would see him glow. His lights blinked on and off, green and yellow. He smelt so very lovely, so strong green-scented pine. But then he dropped his needles, and soon passed Christmas time. Instead of shredding pine tree, I placed him in the ground, where he stood so resolute, where squirrels and rabbits bound. And so I offered him a second chance of being a good Christmas tree, sheltering all the little animals that live both wild and free. End poem.
A wonderful mm-hmm. read there, Phil. And, you know, I really like this poem because it really shows us the spirit of Christmas, which is giving back. And, you know, in a way, he gives back, you know, that by making that, giving that tree a second life. So, you know, instead of throwing out the Christmas tree, he replants it and, you know, he gives the Christmas tree a second chance, you know, and all the little animals and they have a second home, you know, they have a home within the Christmas tree. So, you know, I thought this was really well thought out and well written for sure. And what did you think, Robbie?
Well, this really was an interesting poem to me because until I heard this poem, I had forgotten that about how people chop down trees to have a Christmas tree. And I kind of wonder if people don't do that so much anymore, if almost everybody buys artificial ones, because I can't remember the last time I saw a lot with pine trees and that. Like, it's partly because it's something that I don't look for anymore because I don't get a real tree. I haven't gotten a real tree in for forever and a day. It's like I don't care to do anymore. But in saying that, I do like that the idea that, you know, he's thoughtful in terms of giving the tree a second chance and giving the animals that have the shelter around the tree a second chance. And so I thought there's thoughtfulness there, and the painting was just lovely for it, and it inspires me. I getting these little reminders to finally do that myself in 2024 to finally get to the visual arts, because I want to do painting now, like both on like a like tablet kind of stuff and you know, and like actual painting and that. And for me, I love when I saw this painting, I love gentle blues. There's just something about gentle blues in a painting that, especially when they're complemented by white, I could stare at it forever. It's just like so relaxing about it. It's not even just visually relaxing. There's just something that, like, psychologically for me, that when I see like deep and light blues mixed with white, I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on mute again. Yeah, I know. I just looked down and I thought.
Take that button away from you.
We need a buzzer. We need a buzzer for you, Naomi. Like, that'll like zap you every time you mute. Every time you forget to unmute.
There you go.
Condition me. I understand what you're saying about the blue and the white. It's like, you know, me, I love the ocean, and it's like when the waves come in or when you see the waves, you know, and especially when the waves crash on the sand, you have that, like, that blue and that white foam. Something like really calming in that blue. For sure. And what did you think, Pam, of the poem?
I thought this was a beautifully written brevity. I like the use of the Christmas tree and the replanting of it as a metaphor for giving somebody a purpose, with the idea of when you help other people, you find your ultimate purpose. And it just feels good. And I thought the end stanza really just wrapped up the whole poem nicely. Instead of shredding pine tree, I placed him in the ground where he stood so resolute, where squirrels and rabbits bound. And so I offered him a second chance of being a good Christmas tree, sheltering all the little animals that live both wild and free. Beautiful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said, Pam. And who didn't I ask? Michael, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yes, I'm happy. Okay, did you think of the phone?
Well, I'm like the squirrel. I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed after reading this poem. Anyway, sorry, I had to say something about that. No, you know what? I really enjoy reading this poem, especially the first stanza, which used a technique called, what is it called, anthropomorphism or personification. It did that about the trees. It gave the tree, the pine trees and the Christmas tree like a personality. And I noticed that, especially in the two lines, all the snow-clad pines were envious of that tree, but then someone chopped them down and brought them home to me. I thought those two lines were pretty, were well-written and well-rhymed. So overall, I really liked it. This is a very good Christmas poem that I wouldn't mind sharing with someone else. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's a great observation, the personification of the tree. Yeah, it really came across in the poem. So awesomely well said there, Michael. And Phil, you read it so beautifully. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I really liked the poem. I thought it was it was sweet, you know, because she spoke so warmly of the Christmas tree. I love that she gave the tree a second chance, and I thought it was nicely presented. And with Pam, I grabbed that same stanza. Instead of shredding pine tree, I placed him in the ground, where he stood so resolute, where squirrels and rabbits bound. And so I offered him a second chance of being a good Christmas tree, sheltering all the animals that live both wild and free. Thought it was nice work. So thanks for sharing with us. Much appreciated, Laura Sanders.
Yes, thank you so much. And I have our next write-up. Pam, if you don't mind, when you there, Snowy Love, A Christmas Tale. Give it a read for us.
Absolutely. Snowy Love, A Christmas Tale by E.J. Estes. In a land of ice and snow so pure, a mama polar bear and her cub endure amidst the winter's frost, they find their way on this magical Christmas day. Wrapped in a blanket of glistening white, they frolic and play from morning till night. Their paws leave imprints soft and light as they explore the winter wonderland, oh so bright. Mama Bear's love, strong and true, guides her little one as they journey through. In the snowy expanse, they find their cheer, sharing warmth and love this time of year. Each gentle nuzzle and tender embrace, they create memories filled with grace. Under the starry sky, they dance and twirl, celebrating the joy of this snowy world. End poem.
Wonderful read, Pam. And, you know, we have a common theme with all these poems tonight. You know, they all have this beautiful rhythm and rhyme, and this one is no exception. And, you know, I did have a prompt up by the artist Makika, where she had the, where there was the mama bear and her cub, and they were, you know, in the snow. So, you know, this is a wonderful write to that prompt. And, you know, kind of the magic of the artist, which, you know, she said in her biography that she loves the animals and she loves the magic that you know, envelopes the art that comes out of animals, the way she draws them. And, yeah, in a way, you know, you can take the animals, the mother bear and the cub, for being, you know, humans too, you know, the bear's love as a mother's love. towards her children here. And I think this was beautifully, beautifully read, written and read by Pam. Yes, read by Pam. And, yeah, what did you think, Robbie?
Funnily enough, even though it was about bears, for just a moment, it flashed in my head penguins as well, just because they have that, you see the penguins with their mother, and it's like a really tender thing, too, because they got those little fluffy guys that are under their feet, and they're like, you know, nestling them under the warmth of their feet and just trying to, and they do the same thing with the eggs. But I kind of agree, like, yeah, you could, like, stub in, like, a human mother almost, and her son or daughter, her child. Excuse me. And it would be kind of the same sort of vibe. And there's something in particular about bracing against the cold that brings a closeness together in whatever context it happens to be in. And I thought that was conveyed very well here, that very particular sentiment of closeness that comes about through bracing against the cold and getting together to survive another wintry night.
Wonderfully said there, Robbie. And, you know, what it is a loving and tender write by this poet, A.G. Estes, for sure. And what did you think, Michael?
It's interesting. I am kind of thinking of penguins too, but I also like the bears that I mentioned too. Yeah, I like the imagery of the snow and all of the image of the mother's bear love, the love of the mama bear and the cubs. I thought it was really cute, especially the last stanza. Each gentle nuzzle and tender embrace that create memories filled with grace. I thought that was very nicely done and nicely written and a great submission. That's it.
Thank you. Wonderful comment, Michael. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this. It kind of reminds me of a Christmas, not Christmas, sorry, a book about a mama polar bear that I used to read to my kids. And I think this is just so wonderful. It works for people of all ages. It's something you can read and enjoy as an adult, or you can read to your children. I can imagine it having, you know, being having drawings illustrated. I really like this all the way through. I love how he personifies the bears. He brings them to life. He gives them a sense of humanity and allows us to connect with them. And he shows the mama bear and her cub as a representation of the love shared between mothers and children. And this is really beautiful all the way through. And I especially like mama bear's love, strong and true, guides her little ones as they journey through. In the snowy expanse, they find their cheer, sharing warmth and love this time of year. Wonderful lines and very well done.
An awesome comment, Pam. And yeah, it's so true. You know, there is, you know, all that, just the tender loving and the way he humanized, is that a word, humanized? I don't know, but anyway,
well,
he brought it
up. There is now one. I just made it up.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Yeah, just like you said, Pam, he made them human, you know, and he personified them, the bears. And, you know, I could see this as a movie or, you know, a Walt Disney, you know, a prelude to a Walt Disney movie, you know, for Christmas, you know, about what these little bears would be so cute. And Phil, what did you think?
Oh, she had to step away. She said she'd be
Okay. So I have, do I have it up? Do I have the next one up? Yeah. Okay. A Little Christmas Magic. So Robbie, whenever you see that, my dear, can you go ahead and give it a read for us?
Okay. A Little Christmas Magic. A Little Christmas Magic can go a long way. Door on top of the tree or the sleigh bells you hear ring for you and me. The snow on the ground blanketing everything all around. The lights hung from rooftops to trees all around. Brightly colored landing strip in driveways to lead Santa's helpers to the right doorways. Christmas music playing all around everywhere. You go, you can hear the Christmas sounds. From children's laughter to sleigh bells ringing, Christmas sounds are all around from over the airwaves. To hear on the ground, Merry Christmas, everyone. Sorry, to hear on the ground, Merry Christmas, everyone. And that is A Little Christmas Magic.
And I like that. Yeah, that was a wonderful read, Robbie. And I like that she, you know, she connects us with the senses here in this poem, you know, with the lights and you know, the what you hear, the sounds. It's rare that poems, they bring in sounds into them. And here she brings in, like, the sleigh bells and, you know, that all the Christmas sounds are all around from over the airwaves. And, yeah, every place you go, you know, around Christmas time, all December, you hear those songs on the radio whether you step into a store or wherever you go, there's always, you know, Christmas carols playing and there's a, you know, and yeah, so wonderful, right? And, you know, there was a study done that I don't know if you know about this, but playing music is, listening to music actually makes you spend more, buy more stuff. I don't know if it's true, but I heard that once. So, yeah, but anyway, that was just a little fact there. But what a wonderful poem this is, you know, what a wonderful brevity. And what did you think, Pam?
I think she had to step away.
She said
be right back in the chat. So.
Oh, okay. So, Michael, what did you think of the poem?
I really thought it was really, really cute. Good title, A Little Christmas Magic. I like the mention of a lot of these things, like sleigh bells and Christmas trees and everything associated with the holiday. I thought it was really good. I'm sorry, I'm out of lots of words, but maybe that's a good thing. I thought this was well done and very professionally made. So that's great. Energy.
Awesome comment, Michael. And Robbie, you read it so well. What did you think?
I tongue-tied over the end, but oh well. But yeah, I definitely found this to be the most sensory poem myself. And so I enjoyed it on that level. And when I read it, because it was sensory, I got, when a poem is like that, it allows you to really get into the poem. Like, it's nice when a poem makes you feel like you're almost literally inside it, like you're, you know, like you hear and you see the poem unfolding around you. So I enjoyed it for that experience. And just as a very brief aside, when you were mentioning about the music, I think music does influence you. Like, this wasn't a spending case, but I volunteer for a food program. And there's one day where there's like this more fast disco kind of music or techno music going on. And I noticed all of a sudden, like, are we going faster? It's like,
or like kind of we kind of more hyped up or energized here. And then someone else said, yeah, I think we're more energetic. And I was like, you know what? I think it was the techno music that they were playing. We were just, we're on the line and everybody was going like super quick. And we had like, that was in the old hall, and we had like a disco ball that we never used. And I said, you know what? We should have put on the disco ball. And we had the techno music going on. We may as well put on the disco ball. So the music does influence you in some way, shape, or form like that. I'd be interested to see if it does make you spend more. And if it does make you spend more, like what music makes you spend more? Like is Daft Punk going to make you spend more than like Rob Zombie? You know, is there like some kind of correlation between the kinds of music and the amount that you spend more?
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, but I already heard that, you know, that study was done, and, you know, so I don't think that stores have music on for nothing. That's all I'm saying. And, well, is anybody back? Pam, are you back or not yet? No, I guess not. I'm just going to go ahead with the next poem. Michael, if you want to, do you see the next poem there, The Farmhouse on the Hill? You can go ahead and give it a read.
Okay, one moment. The Farmhouse on the Hill. A blizzard hits quite suddenly in the middle of the night. A family on the road blessed to see a distant light. A farmhouse on the hill, such a welcome sight to see. Here begins a story of the weary Johnson family. Knocking on the door, an elderly man lets them in. His wife right behind him greets the children with a grin. A fire blazing in the fireplace, an aroma of cocoa in the air. A Christmas tree in the corner, decorations everywhere. The kids wrap up in blankets and gather around the fire. Listen to the Christmas album of the Vienna Boys Choir. The adults sit at the kitchen table, visiting like old friends. Such a wonderful outcome, but this isn't where it ends. Sunrise comes very early. The family decides to leave a note. So, not to wake the couple, these words Mr. Johnson wrote. So blessed to have met you in our desperate time of need. The two of you, now a part of us, on this we have all agreed. They travel a short distance before stopping to have a bite. Telling the waitress her story, they sense something isn't right. She smiles as she listens, says, it's not always as it appears. That rundown house has been empty now for over 30 years. A magic exists this time of year for those that do believe. One family will forever cherish this miracle on Christmas Eve.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful read there, Michael. And, you know, you were talking earlier, Robbie, about, you know, how, you know, comparing Halloween to Christmas. Well, I think this is a good way to mix the two, mixing a bit of Halloween in with Christmas, the magic of Halloween in with the magic of Christmas here. But, you know, I read this earlier and I almost wish I hadn't, because, you know, that end was really surprising, and it really, you know, was a captivating ending. But, you know, the story was captivating from the first stanza all the way through. It's such a great story, right? On the, and, you know, that reflects that quote so well, you know, the Christmas magic is silent. You don't feel it. You don't hear it. You feel it. You know it. You believe it. And the way she, the way Gary took that quote and just made this whole story out of it, is just amazing. Really, very, very clever. And what did you think, Pam?
That was clever. I have to say, I actually, when I read it earlier, missed the fact that the family at the house had been, you know, dead for over 30 years, or not, or gone, you know, obviously dead. So yeah, it was interesting. It kind of had a whole, like, you know, a Christmas carol from Dickens feel, where you know, the ghosts come along. And yeah, I just really great, great storytelling, a wonderful look at the idea of how, you know, the miracles of Christmas, and the idea of the winter time where veils are let down between the physical world and the spiritual world. So excellent write and very well done.
No, wonderful, wonderful comment, Pam. And Robbie, what did you think?
Well, we're on the same page because I was thinking how usually when you hear cabins in the woods and mysteries and all that, you think of like the horror movies and that. So it's interesting that it took something that is usually that motif, that setting, but it turned it on its head, probably not intentionally, but it just has that such a strong association with what that usually is. But yeah, it was like, and that's the thing. Ghosts don't always have to be menacing in that, right? Like sometimes a ghost can be a gentle ghost, or like a ghost that's like saying, just so you know, this might happen tomorrow, and that. So yeah, it is interesting to see a cabin in the woods setting, but with a Christmas setting and with more of a Christmas miracle sort of a thing, and, you know, being given shelter in that. So yeah, we're definitely on the same page there.
A wonderful comment, Robbie. And Phil, are you back or no? What did you think, Michael, of your wonderful read, the wonderful poem you read?
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I like the twist at the end, at the second to last stanza. You know, maybe this family was visited by the ghosts of Christmas past or something. You know what I mean? It kind of alluded to a Christmas carol, sort of, with that little twist at the end. I like the rhyming, you know. Fire with choir, friends with ends, note with rote, appears, years, etc. It does a good job of telling a poem in a narrative type of a way. And it rhymes, makes sense, has good rhythm, and I really enjoyed it thoroughly. So that's my take on it.
And it's hard to do that too, you know, write an entire story, but and making it rhyme too,
yeah.
You know, and it's extremely hard, and you know, and make it look like it's, you know, just, you know, not forced rhyme, you know, you know, so the story still makes sense and it still flows effortlessly. So, you know, that's really great that Gary was able to do that. Hats off to him. Wonderful, wonderful, right? And I have our next write-up by Danielle Dlam. And I'm lost track here. Robbie, can you read that one?
Okay. So here we go. A country sister. Bubble lights set up on a Douglas fir, adorned with streamers of golden tinsel, and fairy lights that shine. Atop sits an angel with fluffy wings that move. In the kitchen, the smells of Christmas permeate throughout as sugar cookies shaped like snowmen bake. While on lying top of the stove is a Christmas cake, filled with wine gums and walnuts. A table is set with a red runner of intricate designs of cut out holly, and three white candles sit in the middle, surrounded with cedar leaves, giving off a spicy aroma. Grandma sits in her rocking chair, knitting socks and mittens for gifts. Wrapped in a shawl that she made watching her favorite show. Then the lights are turned off when the tree is plugged in to reveal its loveliness. It seems almost magical to the children who gather below and are starstruck by what they see. And that is A Country Christmas.
Wonderful read there, Robbie. And, you know, I really like this poem by Daniel Jam. You know, it brought me back to my grandparents and, you know, my great-grandparents because, you know, on Prince Edward Island and, you know, everything. You know, it brings you right in there, right into the scenery. You're right there in this place, you know. It's happening all around you, and that makes it so magical and so enchanting, this poem. And what did you think, Pam?
I have to agree that enchanting is a perfect word to describe this poem. I love the imagery in this and how he paints this scene, this picture, with his words. I also feel like this is just a treat for all the senses, not only the visual, mm-hmm. but also the sense of scent and, you know, he brings it all in. And I really like this all the way through, but especially a table is set with a red runner of intricate designs of cutout holly and three white candles sits in the middle surrounded with cedar leaves giving off a spicy aroma. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. You know, it's a treat for all the senses, this poem. It really is. And what did you think, Michael, of the poem?
Let me see. I liked it. I like how it like the previous reviewer said that it really piques the senses, you know, whether it's the sense of smell or sight or sound. I noticed that when it was being read. What else? Overall, it was well done. I like the last two lines also, who gather below and are starstruck by what they see. So it's visual and it's tactile, like you can really feel this poem in a way, and it really touches you. I liked it, so congratulations and review.
Wonderful comment, Michael. And Robbie, you read it so well. What did you think?
This one, to me, combined two of the elements that we've been talking about today. This one was also sensory, but this one had a lot of the most traditional elements of Christmas. And I suppose because it was a country Christmas, so it's I think a country Christmas tends to be one of the more traditional Christmases that you come across. So there's a lot of the traditional things that you think about, like sugar cookies, grandma sitting in her rocking chair knitting socks, and then, you know, the light being turned off and the tree plugged in, which is what I have right now. I'm like sitting in front of my white themed Christmas tree with like almost icicle lights and doves and owls and all the white birds and that. But yeah, it's very much a melding of like two forms or two strong elements that we've seen tonight. Like I said, the very typical things that you see in Christmas, but also being very sensory.
Wonderfully said there, Robbie, and a very complete comment. Thank you so much. And I have our next write up. It's a collaboration, this one, between Heavenly Angel and Easy Writer. And I'll go ahead, since I haven't read yet. I've been lazy. And I'll go ahead and give this one a read. Snow Confetti spins and weaves in romantic throng, falling swiftly outside of our window pane. Inside we smile, gifts of love fill our hearts with joyous song. You are my Santa Claus. Here in my your arms I shall remain. We'll share kisses and whispers of love neath the mistletoe, cuddling under a warm blanket near the Christmas tree. You are all the present I ever need. You set my heart aglow. The gift of your sweet love means everything to me. Babe, I could never long for more on this Christmas day. You have made my life complete in every single way. You alone, my darling, are a true vision of loveliness. You are all that my heart ever yearned to possess. You just being near you, this magic holiday, I'm floating on air. Nothing can compare to this wondrous love we share. I'm wrapped in your gaze that bewitches me. Yes, I'm your Santa Claus, hon, and I shall always be. End poem. What a beautiful romantic poem, loving poem by, you know, these two writers. And what did you think, Robbie, this poem?
Well, it's nice to hear a full romantic poem for Christmas today. We've heard ones with some elements of romance in them, but this is like the first a fully romantic one we've heard. And like when you think about it, Christmas does lend itself a lot. It lends itself easily to romance. Simply because, you know, there's the togetherness of Christmas, and there's it's a very warm sort of atmosphere, and you know, and you're like I said before, you're, you know, sometimes like you're cuddling against the cold, so it's kind of like, yeah, you know, when you're in a movie and you're cuddling up, and but it's even more so you're cuddling against the cold. And of course, there's the mistletoe. We can't forget the mistletoe. and then, Mr. and Mrs. Santa is kind of can be a romantic thing sometimes, and that's so, yeah, it can play very well to that. And this poem fulfilled that, I think, that feeling, and especially because it had some of those elements like the mistletoe and talking about the snow confetti falling swiftly outside of our window pane. So there's already there, like in the, just the first couple of lines, like there's that gentle sort of atmosphere, you know, just gentle snow falling outside through the window, and like that automatically has the potential for a romantic setting.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does set up. And Christmas is a time where, you know, if you are in love, the time that brings, I think, people together, and especially loved ones, you know, and couples. And it's good to have that all year long, of course. But, you know, Christmas is special for that. So, and what did you think, Pam?
Oh, I think this is absolutely beautiful. These two do a wonderful job of writing together. It's so sweet, so romantic, and I love it all the way through, and how they write about the importance of love, and especially during the holidays. So very well done.
Very well said, Pam. And I'm just doing my job here, which I forgot to do, getting the next poem. And It's In by Julie Buck. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm really sorry, I can't. If you could read it, please.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Julie Buck begins the same cheery way. Remember, if Christmas isn't found in your heart, you won't find it under a tree. She wrote to that prompt by Charlotte Carpenter. Every holiday season begins the same cheery way. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And I just snicker and say, that'll never happen, you crazy fools who love the hype, propaganda, and Super Friday sales. All that shopping, I'm not the type. I question why all this joy stuff just angers and stresses me out when Christmas is near. I enjoy joy and have nothing against joy. But why only one day a year? I feel joy within me all the time, but that doesn't mean I'm happy or that I even know what I believe. I'm all twisting inside, hard to be social, easier to be naive. No more tears over this Yuletide season, under no decorated foliage, I'm sure, is a gift for me, so I'll let things be. And by the way, where did I hide our last happy Christmas and tree? Let me count up the years. End poem. And yeah, you know, Julie strikes on something, you know, that's very related to that quote. And, you know, a little bit of sarcasm here and against Christmas and all the commercialism of Christmas, and that it's turned into this great big gimmick, of course. But, you know, she also strikes at something, I think, a little bit more personal, that, you know, if you don't feel that joy inside of you, it's not because it's Christmas time that you're going to feel it anymore, you know, any more so, because it is Christmas time. And, yeah, so, you know, you have to take that into consideration, too, you know, that kind of feelings, I think, at Christmas time. What did you think, Robbie? Is Robbie still with us?
Oh, sorry. Here, sorry. I finally got caught by the mute monster. Time to get paid. I'm in a unique sort of in-between position when it comes to with the whole thing of holidays and the commercialism thing. I get affected by the commercialism just because I have to work it. So that part is never fun for me. I worked the Boxing Day today, and like Boxing Day wasn't nearly as bad this year because the way the economy is, and they tend to spread things out more like the Boxing Week. But I always find it manic because I have to finish. Like, I want to make sure that I finish my stuff in case it does get busier. And with this, like, where she's talking about, you know, if you're not going to find in your heart, then you won't find it under a tree. And it reminds me of the journey I've taken recently where with a lot of the holidays, believe in what they've turned into or like kind of how they're celebrated as opposed to what they're originally supposed to be celebrated. And so I was kind of like at first for a few years, I was like, well, you know, I'm just going to pass over this holiday. And but you can't, the holidays are so prominent, all of them. You can't really just go la, 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 la. And for me, I've taken sort of a unique tack to it. I don't know how many people do, like, I guess some people do this, but I celebrate in my own unique way, or I bring sort of my own meaning to it, and I do very individual things that help to bring meaning to me, or like to give me that meaning. Like I mentioned in chat a couple of times this year for Christmas that I bought a bag of gifts for a charity. And, like, they give you the person's name, like, they give you the kid's name. They say, well, this is a kid. Or, no, they don't give the kid's name, sorry. They give the kids, like, they just say if it's a boy or a girl, and they say what their interests are and their age, so you can buy like some maybe clothes. And like they like Hot Wheels, and so I bought a Hot Wheels, and they also like Legos, so I bought a 900-piece Lego set. And I was just thinking yesterday, is like, what their face must have been like, because this is for people that are poor, right? What his face must have been like to get, you know, a 900-piece Lego box. And so for me, I kind of have hit this middle, unique middle ground, because to me, like, yeah, I don't want to be just like, la, 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 this isn't quite the holiday for me. It's too much to just, you know, brush under the rug. But, yeah, I figured, well, you know what, just celebrate in my own way, bring it to something that it can mean for me and bring some fulfillment for me. So that's my long-ass answer for what I thought of the poem. That was definitely my longest answer of the night.
Yeah, you know, me, if I what I love the most about Christmas, of course, getting together with my family, my children, and you know, just spending time with them. But it's also, you know, just getting those personalized gifts that I know that there's something that maybe the person wouldn't buy for themselves, but they want. And, you know, just, you know, I start really early. Sometimes I start like in September, you know, and I just, well, I start all year, and I listen. And then, you know, a person will say, oh, I would love to have this, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, you know,
I make a mental note of it, and you know, and I start really early because, you know, you can't buy everything at once because, my gracious, it'd be too expensive, you know. But, you know, I start really, really early, and then I get a gift, and then then the next month I'll get another, and, you know, but I really try and get a gift that'll really, really make that person happy. And, you know, that's what makes my Christmas. It's just giving and seeing the face of the person, you know, when they get the gift. I think, you know, that's what makes my Christmas. So, yeah, I understand you with, you know, buying that Lego set and then imagining the child's face, you know, as they unwrap it. Yeah, must have been really something, you know. And Pam, are you ready to comment, my dear?
Oh. I am ready, yes.
Okay.
And, yeah, you know, the thing with Julie is she always puts such a bite into her poetry. And this one was no exception. She definitely did not hold back for the holidays. But she has a very important message in this to me, and the idea of the hypocrisy of joy and generosity that's shared during the holidays but forgotten the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really like this all the way through. But I do especially, like, I question why all this joy stuff just angers and stresses me out when Christmas is near. I enjoy joy, have nothing against joy, but why only one day a year? And I think that's a very important question and very well done.
Mhm. Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, you should keep that joy all year long, not just one day. Absolutely, Julie. Absolutely agree. Wonderful comment, Pam. And we have a next write-up, which is by Eric Svensson. Peel Them Joy Bells, and we have a SoundCloud for that one.
Peel Them Joy Bells, magical, mystical, window period, Phoenix risen Notre Dame Cathedral bells reinstated. Peals of joy to the world rings again. Consecration and celebration of our tenacious human spirit. Come gather round, all ye faithful friends, foes, and frenemies. Lay aside all knotted nitpicking for a while. Let's immerse ourselves in this festive season's cocoon. Find the magical binary thread, DNA encoded within family and friends. Oh, holy night, unhushed, unrushed, allow our inner child to be reborn, shorn from all worry and concern. Wise men, women, and children will come from far to kneel at our mangers. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, heightened heart space, capstone mind makes space for frankincense fidelity. Mystical, magical window period still turns tall trees into crucifixion crosses. Bluebells, buttercups, and butterflies. 12-month gestation period now celebrates our mirthful rebirth. Mistletoe merriness feels pure like reinstated Notre Dame bells. Reborn, dimpled, dappled, canary cadence carols, gratitude, etudes. End of Christmas poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Eric Fenton. And, you know, what a Christmas wonderfully spread out for us to enjoy. You know, this is filled with wonderful metaphors, the imagery, and the alliteration throughout is just amazing. And, you know, what I got out of it, there's a part, where was it? Oh, holy night on hush, on rush, allow our inner child to be reborn, shorn from all worry and concern. Wise men, women, and children will come from far to kneel at our mangers. And, you know, I hope that's really true for most people, you know, that Christmas time brings out that magical inner child in us. And, you know, that it is a time for many, just to relax and be peaceful. And I know it's a time that brings a lot of worry to a lot of people that, you know, that maybe don't have the money to buy Christmas presents or, you know, make great big meals or whatever. But, you know, I hope, you know, that it brings peace and joy to most, you know. I think that's the message that Eric is trying to get across, or part of the message in this poem, which is really beautifully written. And Pam, what did you think of Eric's poem?
This is beautiful. I really like how, to me, the main message is setting our differences aside and taking time to pause and enjoy the holidays. As always, he's got wonderful imagery and metaphors throughout. I really like where he says, come gather around all ye faithful friends, foes, and frenemies. Lay aside all knotted nitpicking for a while. Let's immerse ourselves in this festive season's cocoon. Find the magical binary thread, DNA encoded within family and friends. oh, wonderful lines and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Find that peacefulness. Yeah. Makes me think of the war, eh, when they came out of the trenches for Christmas. Was it Christmas Day or Christmas Eve there? I don't know. I forget which war it was, but they came out of the trenches and they actually shook hands there. And then was it the Germans and the Allies there and that World War? But, you know, they came together for Christmas. And, yeah, what a wonderful poem here by Eric, for sure. What did you think, Robbie?
Well, I was wringing my hands in anticipation to hear Eric Svensson's take on a Christmas poem because he is so utterly unique in his style. And I was like, I want to hear what he has to bring to a Christmas poem, what he'll bring. And of course, there's utterly unique images here that I enjoyed. Find the magical binary threads, DNA encoded within family and friends. Like, there's nobody else who could come up with that. Just nobody. And it works so well. And I like that with his reading style, it's very slow. And so it gives you the time to absorb the poem. And it helps because he has such unique imagery in that. So it helps for it to go a little bit slower so that you can, you know, absorb it. And there's a couple other ones here that I liked. Capstone Mind makes space for Frankincense Fidelity. Oh, I'm like, I love that so much. Frankincense Fidelity. That's just brilliant. I'll just say it. It's brilliant. I just enjoyed hearing him in and of itself. I just enjoyed hearing him bring his ability for such unique imagery and wordplay to a Christmas poem. And it conveyed the essential elements of Christmas, I think, well in his utterly unique style. And I joke when I say it, but I'm only half joking. I think that SoundCloud has like maybe perhaps a whole entire separate server that's dedicated just to storing his poems because he's so prolific. I don't know how many poems I've heard of his. They're all SoundCloud recordings, eh? So I just imagine that there's a massive cloud or a massive server in SoundCloud that's just Eric Svensson.
Absolutely. Yeah. A wonderful comment. And yeah, he is truly unique and he always brings us something, you know, very, very special. And yeah, I agree. Wonderful, wonderful comment there, Robbie. And Pam, I have your poem up next. So if you want to go ahead and give it a read for us.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. All right, the Christmas Cardinals. Christmas paints itself across a Midwest farmland, blankets of snow soft and sparkling. Bird songs and carol bells announce the season of peace and joy. The cherry red cardinal has left a gift of berries for his truest love. She stands forever by his side, though even the harshest of winters. Through even the harshest of winters, he sings to her, ruffling his feathers and prancing proudly, for the gift of her love belongs to him alone. Christmas cardinals snuggle together upon frosted branches of evergreen. Such sweet music trilling through the air, a gift of living notes to enlighten the solemn heart. End poem.
And I love that you chose that picture, Pam. You know, that was one of my favorite pictures in the whole in the whole contest. I have to say, I just love that picture, and you did it so much justice. You know, he sings to her, ruffling his fingers and prancing proudly, for the gift of her love belongs to him alone. Oh, that's so, so tender and so sweet. You know, Christmas cardinals snuggled together upon frosted branches of evergreen. Just such a beautiful, beautiful ride to that art piece. And what did you think, Robbie?
This one gave me a smile on my face on a very personal level because I love cardinals. I just love them. Sadly, I don't have them in my area, but I do have, I always forget if it's cedar or bohemian waxwing that came into my area 2 years ago, and they look kind of like cardinals or a fair bit, and they're just beautiful. And when it says here, has a gift of berries for his truest love, I truly did smile because I remember seeing a pair of cedar waxwings, and one of them had his head tilted to the female, and he's passing off berries. And it is just the sweetest looking thing, and I managed to get a picture of it. And the picture of it is just beautiful. The picture just gives me joy when I see it. And it reminded me of that picture and that scene. So on that level, it really made me smile. And like with, I like when it's birds like this here, because birds are very much known for being especially loving mates and committal mates. So I think it's a perfect thing to use for something like this to, you know, talk about Christmas and, you know, and a loving couple, of whether, you know, human or animal. So, and if I find that picture again, I don't Canadian Geographic, but I'm going to look for it again, just for the sake that I want to find it for myself too. But if I find it, I'll post it on my Canadian Geographic, and I'll send you the link when I do so, Pam.
Okay, great. And by the way, I really appreciate both of your comments. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Off mute, Naomi, off mute. You know, I love the way you put in trilling in there too, you know, such sweet music trilling through the air, a gift of living notes to enlighten a solemn heart. You know, I just love that you put in that word. And yeah, it does. It does make our hearts sing. So it is magical, you know, the song of the birds. So in that way, you know, brings us that magical feeling, that magic of Christmas and the magic all year. And beautifully done, Pam. And I just want to check. Michael's not with us, eh? He left, eh? I hope so.
He did leave, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was just checking because I was saying I thought I saw that he had left, but I was just, you know, saying, I hope he. Anyway, I hope I wasn't ignoring him since an hour. And Robbie, if you want to go ahead and read Jody Melton's poem that I put up.
Okay. When we need it most.
Yeah.
Okay, when we need it most. On a frosty Christmas Eve, sky so clear, a little boy with skates in hand approached with joy, not fear. The pond was frozen, smooth as glass, a mirror to the night, its surface gleaming under stars, a truly wondrous sight. He stepped onto the icy stage with laughter in his heart, gliding swiftly, gracefully, in the night's serene art. Around him, snowflakes danced in a gentle, merry play, as if the world had paused in time on this festive holiday. But fate, it seemed, had other plans on this silent, holy eve, for the ice, it creaked and groaned beneath the moan's soft heave. With a crack that pierced the silent night, the boy's heart filled with dread, as the ice gave way
beneath his feet in dark waters stood. Down he went into the icy depth, a chill that gripped his soul, his cries for help lost in the night as the waters took their toll. But in this moment of despair, when hope seems far and dim, a magic pure and bright came forth from the heavens above. A light shone down, warm and soft and kind, a beacon in the darkest hour, a hope for him to find. It wrapped around him like a cloak, lifting him with care, guiding him back to the world above, to the crisp and wintry air. Back to the ice, safe and sound, with wonder in his eyes, he looked around in awe and saw a Christmas surprise. The pond, now whole, without a crack, shimmered in the night, and in his heart he knew he'd seen a bit of Christmas magic bright. So, with a smile, he skated on under the moon's gentle sway, grateful for the gift he'd received on this blessed holiday. For on this Christmas Eve, so bold, beneath the stars' grand tapestry, he danced with danger, blood's warmth, in a miracle no one else would see. End poem.
Great, great read there, Robbie. And, you know, another wonderful story, right, all in rhyme, which is very hard to do. And, you know, wonderful, wonderful story here told by Jody. And, you know, it's just another one that kind of you reunites a little bit of Halloweenish there with Christmas, like you were saying, Robbie. But wonderful, right, you know, on being saved. I think, you know, being saved, and you can read different things into this, you know, like different meanings, I think. But, yeah, just wonderful, wonderful imagery all throughout. You just see yourself at that pond, and, you know, you feel him fall into those waters. The imagery is so crisp and clear here. And you just see that light too, you know, when he's rescued. So wonderful, wonderful, right, by Jody. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is absolutely wonderful. Great rhyme and flow, as you were saying, great storytelling. I like how he writes about that Christmas miracle, you know, of being saved, of somebody who's on the verge of dying and is rescued. This really does have a very intense and epic feel to it. Down he went into the icy depths, a chill that gripped his soul. He cries for help lost in the night as the waters took their toll. And then to go on to, you know, the rescue. From the heavens above, a light shone back on the ice, safe and sound, with wonder in his eyes. He looked around in awe and saw a Christmas surprise. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Pam. Wonderful observations. And what did you think, Robbie?
Well, this was another of the poems where I remember it was on a totally different show, like a totally different topic. And I think it was a romantic poem. But then it was turning into, like, a sad poem. And I think I remember, like, yeah, I remember you were there, like, you were saying, oh, this one turned sad. I think a couple other people said that. And I was saying then, too, like, it was a challenge to read because all of a sudden you see that the tone of the poem is going to change. So if you're reading out loud for a show like this, you're all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, I have to change the tone of my voice. I can't read in a sing-songy light voice when someone's drowning. And so it's a unique challenge that way. And then this one is circled back to a happy ending. So it was you never quite knew where you were going with this poem. And it especially that it changed the mood again, that even made it even more of a fun challenge to read it. Because then you're like, oh, okay, I can go back to a more gentle sort of a voice, whereas the poem that I had read on the other show, it just was a sad ending, right? So, I agree, like, it's got that, like, almost Halloween-y sort of feel to it, or like something a little darker at least, for a little while there. And it's always interesting to read a tale like that, because you don't see too many of those. You see, like, tales either tend to be all dark, not all the time, but a lot of times they're all dark or all light. And this one mixed the two really well, because it went back and forth a lot, but it didn't do it jarringly. So I thought it was well done in that respect.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Robbie. And the next poem I have up was Silent Winter by Random Dot, and I just thought this was so beautiful, this poem. It goes like this. Can you hear the silence? Snow makes not a sound. Watchful eyes confounded by dazzling frozen dance. Ice spun crystal sparkle in the dark sky moonless night. Swirling, stirring, whirling, weaving a wintry blanket white. Snow blind canvas covers brown dirt, dead leaves and limbs. Cushiony blanket of beauty, insulation blocking the echoes of wind-borne flight. Balmy curtain of white outspread comfort and light. Listen up, you'll hear the stillness of the night. End poem. And what a beautiful, beautiful poem. You know, I just love the peaceful atmosphere that it was created here, the quiet wintry scene. I thought this was just brilliantly composed. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. It is absolutely stunning. I love that title, Silent Winter, because there is, when you have the ground covered with snow, there is a sense of silence to winter. I really like the imagery in this, especially when she says, ice spun crystals sparkle in the dark sky, moonless night, swirling, stirring, whirling, weaving a wintry blanket white. Not only is that beautiful imagery, but it's nice use of alliteration. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. And what did you think, Robbie, of this poem?
Well, it drew me in more than it might some, or at least as a photographer. Like, if there's someone else that was a photographer, I think they would be drawn in the same way as I was, because I've taken some – I'm doing mostly spring and summer photography and some fall, but I have taken a little bit of winter photography. And when I saw the picture and then it got paired with the feeling expressed in the poem, I really felt that. I really felt like when you're out photographing the snow, like the snow, you can see, especially when you're paying attention to it, you see, like, you can feel the heavy feel that it has. And it's almost like it absorbs all the sound around it, you know, like, I think everybody knows that feeling when you're out on a trail or something like that. It's so quiet. It's just like the winter wind. But especially if there's no winter wind, it's just a silence. And I guess it's because there's not as much nature about. But it's something about the snow. It's like the snow, like I say, it absorbs the sound. And I really felt that in this picture, especially because even the houses in the background look like the units in my cluster. So it literally drew me in. And as for, like, the poem itself, well, it even says, can you hear the silence? Snow makes not a sound. And imparted so well the feeling of snow to me, the snow's stillness and its quietness. And like it says, in the dark sky, moonless night, swirling, stirring, whirring. And I think about photography experiences, like when it's nighttime and it's cold. Ironically, that's the best time to take those winter photos, or the like of the moon and all that, because the air is so still and it's quiet all around you. Like you're on the deck, you've had to clear out the snow, and it's all quiet and still, and you're there just in the middle of winter, just looking through the still air at everything around you. So yeah, definitely drew me in on a lot of personal levels.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much, Robbie. And this has been a wonderful night of poetry, and so happy to have Radio Blog back. And for everybody that's going to be listening back to the show, I just want to say thank you so much for writing for us for Christmas week. And I know there's going to be some carryovers, a few carryovers, but we'll fit them on another show and we'll send you a link when they'll be up. So thank you, Pam, and thank you, Phil, for everything you do. And thank you, Michael, for phoning in, and thank you, Robbie. And so, and a merry late Christmas, everybody, and a great night to everyone. Bye.
Bye, everyone.